اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين، اللهم انصرهم في فلسطين، اللهم وأعد المسجد الأقصى إلى بلاد المسلمين، اللهم وأنقذ المسجد الأقصى من براثن المعتدين، وأخرجهم منه أذلة صاغرين، اللهم ارزقنا فيه صلاة قبل الممات، إنك على كل شيء قدير.
Ibn Jubayr says, Subhanallah, Ibn Jubayr said, I went for Hajj. He says, the Khatib made a dua for the Khalifa who was in Baghdad. The people said, Ameen. Said, he made a dua for the governor of Makkah, and the people said, Ameen. And then he made a dua for Salahuddin. Said, the place erupted. Salahuddin wasn't just the liberator of Masjid Aqsa. He was the true protector of the Haramain.
The liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa from the Crusades is considered Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah's most marvelous feat. Yet, history will record Salahuddin too as a defender of all three harams. His concern for these holiest of places is best captured by Salahuddin's determined vow to pursue and eradicate Reynald the Chatelain, a Crusader leader who had broken numerous truces, harassed the Hujjaj, and threatened the Haramain.
And they released a man who was the greatest arch enemy of Islam, a man called Reginald de Chatillon. For 15 years, this man had been in prison. Nuruddin had left him in the dungeons of Halab. They released him so he would be a thorn in the side of Salahuddin. And what did this man do? Soon as he mustered up an army, he marched on Makkah. And na'udhu billah, he was saying, when I reach Makkah, I will bring the Kaaba to the ground. And then na'udhu billah, he said, I will go to Medina. And na'udhu billah, I will take the camel herder from his grave, speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will bring him back to my palace in Karuk. And I will charge the Muslims to view his body. And the narrations mention that when Salahuddin heard this, he took out his sword, he lifted it to the skies, and he said, by Allah, I will kill Reginald with my own hands. Because he had a deep love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he dispatched an army under Husamuddin Lu'lu'. And Husamuddin took a navy, he annihilated the army of Reginald, and then he captured his men, he took them to Medina, and he executed them in Medina. And 4 years after this, again, when the Muslims and the Christians had a truce, Reginald attacked a Muslim caravan traveling from Egypt to Syria. And what he would do every time he would put a Muslim to the sword, he would say, you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now ask him to help you. And then he would strike his neck. And when Salahuddin heard this, he again took an oath that he would kill this man with his own hands.
It was after the Battle of Hittin that Salahuddin got to fulfill his vow and eliminate this enemy of Islam.
And then Salahuddin rahmatullah walked up to Reginald and he reminded him of his transgressions, and he reminded him of what he said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Reginald said that this is what kings have always been doing. And Salahuddin offered him Islam and he refused. And then Salahuddin said, do you know who I am? He said, I am the representative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I, on this world, take revenge on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he fulfilled his promise.
Salahuddin took great care to secure the Hajj routes. He abolished all unjust taxes that were being levied on Hujjaj and established waqfs to serve the Hujjaj and the Haramain. He also sent supplies for the governor of Makkah and the sick in the holy city. Ironically, in spite of his great services to the Haramain, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah did not get the opportunity to perform Hajj. This was due to his preoccupation with jihad and other obstacles that came his way. Salahuddin had a keen desire to perform Hajj in the final year of his life, but it was not destined to be. Salahuddin spent the days of Ramadan 588, corresponding with 1192 at Masjid al-Aqsa, fasting, praying and reading the Quran. Several crusader leaders came to visit him and he treated them honorably. After Eid, Salahuddin proceeded to Damascus, where people camped outside the city awaiting him. There was a joyous reception as people came out in the throngs to welcome him. Salahuddin settled down in Damascus and continued to receive a steady stream of envoys. He would often hunt while also attending to the courthouse to pass judgment and striving to perform good deeds. After returning from a hunting expedition in the east of Damascus in Safar 589, Salahuddin was overcome with emotion when he encountered the return of the Syrian Hajj caravan from Makkah. Tears fell from his eyes due to his ardent desire to perform Hajj that year, but which went unfulfilled. He asked the pilgrims about the situation in Makkah, its amir and people, its climate, its charities and poor, its inhabitants and administration, and whether Egypt was supporting it well. He was gratified that the Hujjaj returned without any hindrance. Soon thereafter, Salahuddin began feeling extremely weak and was overcome with a bilious fever. His condition grew worse and he soon stopped partaking in collective meals with the family, as was his practice. His close confidants Qadi al-Fadil and Qadi ibn Shaddad used to visit him daily. Blood was removed from his body. A cup of lukewarm water was brought for him to drink. The first time he found it too hot. The second time, he found it too cold. Even at this time, Salahuddin did not get angry. He simply said, "Subhanallah, perhaps there is no one who can make the water of the right temperature." Hearing this, the two Qadis left the room crying, with Qadi al-Fadil remarking, "Look at this attitude of this great man whom the Muslims are about to lose. By Allah, any other man in his place would have thrown the cup at the head of the man who bought it." Salahuddin's condition was being monitored closely, and the people of Damascus eagerly sought news of his health. It was on the eve of Wednesday, 27th Safar, 589 Hijri, that Salahuddin's strength failed, and it appeared that the end was close. A pious imam, Abu Ja'far, was summoned to be at his side. Salahuddin's mind was wandering, but when he was reminded of the Shahada, he recited it promptly. Sheikh Abu Ja'far was reciting verses of the Quran, and Salahuddin appeared inattentive. However, when he reached the verse of Surah Hashr, "He is Allah, besides whom none has the right to be worshipped, the knower of the unseen and the seen," Salahuddin suddenly woke up and said, "It is true." The soldier of Allah passed on at the hour of Fajr on Wednesday 27th Safar 589 Hijri, corresponding with the 4th of March 1193. As he passed away, he had a smile on his face and Sheikh Abu Ja'far was reciting the concluding verses of Surah Tawbah. "None has the right to be worshipped but He. In Him I put my trust." The citadel, the city, and the entire Muslim world was plunged into grief. Many had wished that it was them rather than the Sultan who died. Condolences poured in from far and wide. Despite his vast empire, Salahuddin effectively died a pauper.
They say that the money that was left in his treasures, in his own personal, you know, treasures, you couldn't even pay zakat on it. It didn't even reach the nisab. In Sharia, you have to have a certain amount of money before zakat is even obligatory on you. And it is said that Salahuddin, as the ruler of the Muslims, he did not have enough money himself. They didn't find enough money on which zakat was obligatory. Something like 47 dirhams, which is like 47 silver coins, and I think some narrations even said one coin of gold. He didn't leave behind any property to his name. He didn't leave behind any palace. So no property, no palace, no gardens, nothing. And if you read what the scholars they said, like if you read Siyar A'lam in Nubala by the scholar Al-Dhahabi, he mentions that some of the scholars they said that it was ajib. This was strange. That how can it be that somebody like him, that you know, one of the kings, he was one of the kings of the Muslims, that when he died with what, you know, and he left something like what the prophets they leave. Because this type of thing, you only hear about prophets leaving this type of, hardly anything. When the Prophet ﷺ, he passed away, just a few clothes, or hardly anything, you could count it on your hands, what he left behind.
Qadi Ibn Shaddad mentioned that money had to be borrowed to purchase even the smallest items for the janazah. His janazah was performed after Dhuhr, and when people saw the buyer, they erupted with sorrow. Qadi Al-Fadil ordered that Salahuddin be buried with his sword, hoping that he will be resurrected and enter Jannah, leaning on it. Salahuddin was laid into his grave just before the hour of Asr. Dignitaries continued to arrive, and the Qur'an was recited abundantly over his grave. At the Umayyad Masjid in Damascus, he was eulogized for 3 days. On his deathbed, it is said that Salahuddin dispensed the following golden advice to his son. I urge you to fear Allah, for it is the basis of all goodness. I enjoin upon you all that Allah enjoins upon you, for it is the cause of your salvation. I warn you against bloodshed and indulging therein, for blood does not sleep. I enjoin you to be kind to people and check on their situation, for you are a trustee and the trustee of your people over them. I enjoin you to pay attention to the feelings of the emirs and prominent figures in the state, for I have not achieved what I have except by being kind to people. Do not bear grudges against anyone, for death does not leave anyone alone. Be careful about the way you deal with people, for nothing will be forgiven except with their consent. But whatever is between you and Allah, Allah will forgive it when you repent to Him, for He is most generous. Both during his life and after, many glorious parallels were made of Salahuddin. He was said to correspond with the character of the Prophet Yusuf, whose name he bared. He was likewise identified with the people of Badr.
They say about the people of Badr, numbers never scared them. Similarly, Salahuddin was a man who was never fazed by numbers. He took on literally the entirety of Europe, but numbers never fazed him. They say that the people of Badr fulfilled the rights of this ummah. I say Salahuddin fulfilled the right of this ummah. They say the people of Badr fulfilled the right of jihad. I say Salahuddin fulfilled the right of jihad. They say that the people of Badr was steadfast. I say Salahuddin was steadfast. They say Allah granted the people of Badr victory. I say, and you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Salahuddin victory. As one historian writes, he says, it was almost as though Allah kept Salahuddin behind from the people of Badr to deal with his enemies at a later stage.
Salahuddin's liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa also placed him, in the eyes of the Ummah, in a category of leaders of which the great Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Faruq even featured.
They said to Salahuddin, they said, oh Salahuddin, the church, where the Christians believe that Isa is buried. Let's destroy it. If you destroy it, the battle is finished. And they said to Salahuddin, it's not against our aqidah. We don't even believe he's buried there. We believe he's in the heavens. So if we destroy the church, it's game over. You know, the longest battle in history is the Battle of the Crusaders. It lasted for 200 years. 6 million Christians died in the Battle of the Crusades. And these were Europeans who traveled all the way from Europe. 6 million died. And Salahuddin said, I can't do it. They said, why Salahuddin? You've destroyed the church. It's game over. He said, no. He said, I can't do it. Because a man who was better than me took Jerusalem and he didn't do it. He said, who? He said, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. The historians say there were many similarities between Salahuddin and Umar. They said Umar would wear simple clothes, Salahuddin would wear simple clothes. They said Umar radiallahu anhu would eat simple food, Salahuddin would eat simple food. They say that Umar walked in Jerusalem without any bloodshed. Salahuddin walked in Jerusalem without any bloodshed. Ibn Athir said, wallahi, this is such an amazing statement. Ibn Athir says, it is enough for the virtue of Salahuddin that history will remember him with Umar ibn Khattab. It is enough as a virtue for Salahuddin that history will remember him with Umar ibn Khattab.
Despite these great accolades, Salahuddin still considered himself the lowest. In a letter to a king from the Maghrib, he opened up with the words, from the one who is in need of Allah, Yusuf ibn Ayyub. Salahuddin's grave still lies today in a garden outside the Umayyad Masjid in Damascus. During his life, he opened up many cities and fortresses for Islam. As a most fitting tribute, a sign posted at his grave once read, O Allah, as his final victory, open for him the gates of Jannah.